Okay, welcome back everyone. We are recording this on Tuesday, so hopefully you'll be hearing this before Wednesday's episode. We apologise for this coming late to you, but it's finally here. I am Dom, I'm here with Colin as always. Colin, how are you doing today?
Good, and I don't apologise, because I was thinking about this actually just a few minutes ago, because we always say, oh, we're going to try to get the episodes out sooner, but here's what I've been thinking, Dom. And you tell me if this holds any water in your eyes, at least. I know Rochester Nino puts his episodes out as quickly as possible, Thursday. Colette Lala publishes very quickly her recaps. And we understand we're not necessarily the top of the totem pole, at least not yet, when it comes to people in terms of the order that they listen to things. So if they're going to be listening to Rochester Nino on Thursday and reading Bitchy Survivor Blog Friday and doing whatever else, you know, listening to The Tribe Saturday or whoever, I kind of like, you know, and then they have a couple days off, and then Monday, Tuesday rolls around, they get Dom and Colin, they get back into Survivor mode for Wednesday's episode. So there you go. That's my justification for all of this.
See, guys, this is what happens when Colin's been thinking. This is the sort of quality conclusions you reach. I also like how you managed to plug three separate blogs in the space of about half a minute.
Well, I'll go a long way to put off doing work. At the expense of my own personal success, I guess. Let's start Survivor, I guess. Are you ready?
Yeah. Before we start, I know we've been promising you various non-Survivor-related content for a few weeks now. We promised to you that is coming at some point, which is not quite sure when. We're sorting that out, but that is in the pipeline. It's going to make its way to you fairly soon. So watch out for that. But, yeah, today we're just talking Survivor, so we can get right into it if you want.
Yeah, sure. I guess, you know, last week we, just as a little quick recap, because it's been a little while, last week we saw the Mike boot, which was, you know, a pretty straightforward episode. Mike ended up getting blindsided, so here we are today, and we have a whole new episode to talk about. And actually, the first thing I want to talk about is before the episode itself is the previously on.
Right.
Because in the previously on, I'm sure you noticed this as well. Probst does, you know, he does the voiceover explaining the last week's episode, and when he's talking about the reward challenge, they were of course split into two different teams, and he's phrasing the results in such a way as Kim's team won, Troy and Jay's team lost, and doesn't mention anyone else.
It felt like the editors just sort of given up at this point. It's like, well, a Kim win is a done deal. Everyone obviously knows it's going to happen, so why even bother? Let's just go home and find something else to do with our lives.
It's pretty remarkable. Literally everything in the previously on episode is told through Kim's perspective specifically. It doesn't even, like, mention any other women by name.
Right. I mean, it does explicitly mention this men versus women theme, but then, yeah, that is, when they go into it specifically, it is through the eyes of Kim. And it portrays Kim in a very positive light as well. Like, there isn't the type of thing where, you know, Kim is so mean, you know, brutally outwitting poor Jay and Troy and whatever. This is, you know, this is portraying Kim as someone who is smart and competent, and that's the sort of thing which, if you're trying to edit a winner, that's how you want to portray them as. So, this isn't a new conclusion, this is something we've been saying for the past few weeks, but it's nice to have further confirmation of it.
This is honestly something we've been saying since before the first episode, even. Well, although it's just every week we just get more and more certain.
Or it's not like it required any genius on our part, because everyone has been saying this since before the first episode.
Right, yeah.
Which is why maybe I've seen less interest in this season than I have in some previous ones, because it seems like everyone knew from the first episode what the result was going to be. And the only question is how we end up getting there.
Yeah, although this is the thing. I feel like if the editors are just messing around with us and getting just all of the nation just arriving at the conclusion that Kim's won even before the merge even arrived, and then someone else wins, it would be an epic kind of like troll or red herring. We would never have seen anything like this in terms of a red herring.
Yeah, and it has to be the most unlikely person possible. So, yeah, at least your leaf would be fine, but preferably Tarzan, of course.
Sure. Well, let's get into this episode, because the first thing I want to talk about this episode is Tarzan is very aware.
That's right.
Yeah, Tarzan's very aware that the men are now down in numbers, and he says very bluntly to Troy's hand, and this is a direct quote, which I absolutely loved, "They've beaten us at the game. We're going to lose," end quote. What did you think about that scene?
I thought it was brilliant. I think he should have followed it up with, "Feel free to start working, Troyzan." That would have made it perfect.
Yeah, that's right. Tarzan, as a character this season, has just been obviously fantastic, and it's because of stuff like that. He's just so face up about everything, and that quote really struck me as something just the absolute perfect kind of like Tarzanism. Just so blunt and direct, despite all circumstances maybe perhaps dictating that that's not the way he should be doing.
Well, should be handled. While on the topic of Tarzan, we should get to the reward challenge where Tarzan just crushes it, predictably, of course. I mean, whoever would have doubted it?
let's go right into the reward challenge.
Okay. So
this is another one. This was a do-it-yourself challenge, which here we go again. Was basically my reaction.
Yeah, and we get an extremely poor Jeff replacement in the form of Troyzan, who, as Sabrina pointed out, managed to just funk it horribly.
He does, yeah. Troyzan, not... I was thinking they should have brought in Colby and given Colby get some experience under his belt from when Probst ends up just leaving and doing his own show.
And as we'll see later, this is a recurring theme of Troyzan, just failing horribly at surviving in general. But we'll get on to that in a minute. So we get this raw challenge, and the challenge is you have this... I guess it's a mast that's a few feet away, and it has planks sticking out of it, and you have to throw this ball and train, or as Tarzan called it, a bolus, which, you have to love a man with good vocabulary.
I didn't know what that word was. Can we hang on a second? I didn't know what that word was.
Bolus.
All right. Can you define it for the listeners?
No, I'm not Tarzan. What the fuck are you doing?
Okay.
I've never heard of this word before.
Sorry. Oxford boy. Sorry. I thought you were good with words.
So you have to throw this bolus, or whatever it's called, over and have it wrap around one of the masks. And so we see everybody else fail it, except your girl cat, of course. Mm-hmm. And then Tarzan casually strolls into the ring and hits it out of the park, gets more points than every other person combined by a factor of four, and takes down the challenge for his team.
It was pretty impressive, honestly. This challenge, obviously I hate do-it-yourself challenges beyond... I loved it that one single time. I thought it was great when it was a unique thing in Samoa. But the second one and now this third one, awful. I don't even know if liked is the right word for it, but it reminded me, it kind of made me nostalgic for, like, back into the very, very early seasons, like in Borneo and Australia, they would have challenges where they would just get some kind of local thing and everyone would get one shot with it, typically some kind of weapon or whatever, like they did it with a boomerang or all those weapons in Borneo that they used, where everyone just gets one shot and that's the end of the challenge. And it obviously often leads to much less suspense than there would otherwise be in all these more elaborate challenges. Tarzan, I was obviously thrilled to see Kat get it, and then Tarzan, one-upser, or two-upser, I guess, as the case was. I think both of us had some solid representation in that challenge.
Right. To make your earlier point another way, I like it when the producers troll the contestants by having Jeff not show off and making them do it themselves. I don't really like it when the producers are trolling the viewers like that, because as much as people like to back on Jeff for his commentary during the challenges, it does add something which isn't really there when it's just the people doing it by themselves. Like, the commentary might not seem important, but you only realize how much of a role it plays when it's not there.
Yeah, that's actually very well put. The one thing, obviously, Troyzan was a terrible replacement. One thing I wanted to say is someone asked Jeff on Twitter what he was doing. Like, why? What else are you out there doing? What are you doing that you can't be there hosting the challenge when you're off? In the South Pacific, what else are you, what are you prioritizing above your one job out there? And he said he was napping, and I don't know if he was joking or not, but I actually believe that could very quite easily have been the case. I think at this point, Jeff's kind of like, I don't need to be there for this one. Who really cares?
Yeah, I agree. Can you check your things recording quickly?
It is.
Okay, good. Crisis averted. That's fine.
All right.
Just for the listeners, I'm going to explain this because I can't be bothered to go back and edit it out, which I guess proves my point. This is the sort of thing we have to deal with every week, this sort of general production failures, which anyone halfway competent with computers would just never encounter in their lives.
Yeah, we are the Troyzan serving as Probst of tech of right. Fixing tech problems.
This is a good time to point out that I also promised our listeners intro and outro music a few weeks ago, which we promised is coming to you as well. We're trying to avoid copyright and get, we're going to get around to doing that.
Do we have to avoid copyright? We're not making any money off this.
Right, and I'm not sure anyone's actually listening to us, so you might be right. We can just find a random piece of music and put it up, but
I think we should be
good. That's
coming
to us, well. Listen out for that in future weeks. Anyway, back on topic.
Yeah, so anyway, all right, just reward challenge, just kind of wrap that up a little bit. We see it's another team challenge, and this is they're playing for another barbecue. And then it's Troyzan, Jay, Kat, Alicia, and your boy Tarzan, as mentioned, comes through in the clutch and pulls the reward out for his team. And they get not only a barbecue, but they get a nice little booze cruise where they all get a little tipsy on some rum, even Tarzan doing some drinking. And I think it was someone pointed out that Corinne Kaplan on Rob Has a Podcast on their preview show said they were going to be giving him alcohol this year, which was a very solid pick by her, because this is now I don't even know at this point how many times, third or fourth at least, times they've gotten a drink.
Right.
I don't know if there's even a point to be made there, but I thought it seems like they've been drinking more than they normally do.
Right. I think, you know, for the purposes of entertaining the viewers, I think they should all just give that alcohol to Tarzan. Got Tarzan drunk and then just film him for a day.
Well,
it'd be like a day in the life of Tarzan.
Counter argument, Tarzan doesn't need to get drunk to be really entertaining. Give all the alcohol to, like, Leaf and then have him. Imagine what could go wrong.
No, that is actually a fair counter argument. Probably the best you've ever made on this show.
Yeah.
That is excellent. I don't know who else you would give it to, though. Like, sure, you could give it to Alicia and just watch her be even more, like, violent and uninteresting than she is already. But beyond that, like, who are you going to give it to?
Yeah.
It has to be Tarzan, not me. And I think the clip's always there as Tarzan.
Yeah, that's true. Let's just move on. The next thing we see is Kat and Jay get to kind of talking about strategy, which is quite the brain trust, might I say. And Jay is still paranoid about this women's alliance he's trying to get, it's really clear to me at least, that he just wants the women to say, listen, we're not together. He just needs kind of like some kind of placation. But Kat doesn't really give that to him, because when he confronts her about it and says, hey, are we still good? She does not say yes. She says, what am I supposed to say? No? Or what am I going to say? No?
It seems like she answers all of his questions in one or fewer syllables. Like, when somebody refuses to even talk to you, you have to start thinking that maybe something is up there, in addition to all the other clues they've been given so far.
Yeah, when you're approaching someone, this is something I've learned as spending many years as a savvy survivor viewer. When you approach someone with a plan and their response is, yeah, that's the plan. That's not the plan. That's not their plan, at least.
Yeah. Sophie also made an interesting point on Rob Has a Podcast, where she said that you can tell if someone isn't really on the side where you have to initiate every single conversation with them. And obviously, we're seeing an edited show, we're seeing, you know, 40 minutes of 3 days worth of footage here. But it seems like Jay and Tarzan have to always start these conversations with women. It's not like they're coming up to them and actively making efforts to ensure that they're placated. With the possible exception of Kim, who I think would be aware of that and would be working to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, actually, is that you see that something that obviously a very key component to maintaining a strong alliance in Survivor is keeping the members that are on the bottom of that alliance unaware of the fact that they're on the bottom of the alliance. And you see great players like Boston Rob did in Redemption Island, and obviously in All-Stars, and you know, both times that he kind of ran the game through to the end, where no one ever really knew that they were on the bottom of his alliance, and the great players make sure that those people don't know so that they don't have incentive to flip. And it's that kind of thing where if you're the one initiating every single conversation, there's probably not much interest from the other side.
Right. At this point, it probably doesn't make much sense to look at it from the perspective of Jay and Troy's, and given that they managed to both fuck it up horrendously. But let's say you're in their position here. You're talking to Kat, and Jay decides to pitch Alicia as a possible boot. Do you think this makes much sense, given that if you're Jay, you know that Alicia and Kat are one of the closest pairs on the island?
Well, the thing is, if you're Jay, it depends on if I have my own faculties about me or not. And it's also hard to know what Jay does and doesn't know, because clearly at this point, Jay was still thinking that the new Solani alliance was the place to be, and thinking that Alicia was on the other side because she smashed an orange egg when they did the tribe swap. So it's really hard to know what Jay's head was at with this, I think.
You could argue maybe he should have pitched for Christina instead, I don't know. But then Christina, the thing is, if you're aware of the dynamics that are going on, you know that Christina's less likely to be tight with women than Alicia, so it's kind of high risk, high reward, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the thing exactly about the Alicia boot, is, you know, if there's not gonna, if this doesn't, sorry, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, I guess, because if it doesn't work out, obviously it's gonna be you who's the one who's gone, it's not gonna be someone else, presumably. I don't know, Alicia is, if they all sound like they're all instantly on board with an Alicia boot, they're either absolutely with you or absolutely against you. I don't even know what point I'm really trying to make there. I guess just plus one to your high risk, high reward. Edit that out if you'd like, but you're probably too lazy to do that.
I am indeed too lazy to do that. Anyway, so moving on. So do we want to go to the immunity challenge next and then go onto the sort of debate about the boot afterwards?
Sure.
I think that makes more sense. Okay. So we get into this immunity challenge, and this is one which we've seen many times before. As Jeff Probst said, it's a Survivor Classic where you're standing on this narrow beam and you have to hold your hand up above your head, and attached to your wrist is a chain which leads to a bucket of water. And if your hand moves too far, or if you move too far, the bucket comes down, you're out of the challenge. And again, one of the common features we see throughout this challenge is that Jeff Probst loves to offer food to the contestants to try and tempt them down. And this works out pretty well if you're Jeff Probst, and not well if you're Jay, for instance.
Yeah, this challenge, this is the Parvati Shallow Classic. She's won this challenge twice.
Yes.
Anyway, for the, you know, just a little historical tidbit. Yeah, this is, you know, Jeff comes out with different food rewards every so often, and they increasingly get better and better. And if you declare, hey, I'd like to come down and get that food, you just pull your arm down, and in exchange for coming at giving up immunity, you get some food. I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast is very familiar with the challenge. But yeah, Jay did end up getting the best food, but perhaps probably not the best end result. But we'll get into that in a minute. This challenge actually, despite Tarzan's fantastic all-star performance in the reward challenge, a bit less so in this one, as he was out in Crystal Cox record time of about half a second. he yanked his bucket down. And actually, I can kind of get behind that opinion, because this seems to be a running theme of these challenges. I would hate doing this challenge, and I would probably just wait for some food and immediately pull my bucket down, because there's no way I could win this challenge.
Right, I think people criticize players too much maybe for choosing to take food. In reality, if you know that you're not going to win the challenge, and you're probably not unless you're a young, athletic female, then it makes sense to take food and possibly reinvigorate yourself for future challenges if you can be reasonably confident you're not going home that night. And as it happens, Jay shouldn't have been that confident, but you can see why he might have been.
Yeah, this challenge, when it was played in Fans versus Favorites, actually, if a little bit more history, because this is one of the greatest scenes, I think, this is like a classic Survivor scene in my mind, where everyone's trying to get Jason down so he doesn't win immunity, and so everyone's over sitting on the bench, and he's saying, I'll come down if you all promise me I'm safe tonight, if you guarantee it. And he's asking all the members of the Black Widow Brigade to sit and tell him he's safe, and they all behind their backs underneath the bench have their fingers crossed. And I thought that was a really good scene.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to violate any pinky promises now, would you?
No, you sure wouldn't. all right, so where to go from here? So immunity, we end up seeing several people come down for food. Sabrina comes down for food. Kat comes down. Jay comes down, ultimately, for wings and beer. And Chelsea wins.
Yeah.
End result, yeah. Spoiler alert. Oh, actually, one thing I wanted to talk about this. It was Leaf ends up getting second place.
Well, this actually makes sense, because if you're Leaf, you can just stand there. You're not actually exerting any effort to remain on the perch, because it's not like your legs are taking a beating by having to stand in the same position for an hour or whatever. You're just you're Leaf. You're just there admiring the world with your arm above your head.
One of the things I thought of is, because I wasn't expecting him, first of all, I wasn't sure he'd be able to, like, reach the chain, but although I guess they probably would make it long enough for him.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But I also thought he has a bit of an unfair advantage here, because his arms are so much smaller than everyone else. The blood has to go so much it doesn't have to go nearly as far away from his heart as it does from, say, like Troyzan with long arms. So sure. He can get circulation much better to his arm.
Neither of us are qualified medical professionals here, so this is idle speculation.
All right, yeah, that's fun stuff. I'm sure that's what people are tuning in for.
Yeah, using common sense, it does seem that Leaf was pretty well set up for the challenge, and I think had Chelsea and Leaf both wanted to win it and that they'd stayed out there for as long as possible, I think it's very possible that Leaf could have ended up pulling it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. And now, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is Chelsea, when Alicia so nobly stepped down saying, well, you know, Chelsea mentioned she really wants to win this immunity. Do you think Chelsea's trying to build up a final tribal resume, or does she just want it symbolically?
I think she's the sort of person who doesn't want to give up in a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen on Survivor a lot, there are certain subset of people who, you know, they would never consider throwing a challenge, even if it was strategically correct for them, just because they like to call themselves competitors, they want to win or whatever. And I think Chelsea is one of these people who, you know, she likes competing in the challenges, and even though she doesn't necessarily need to win it, because even if Leaf wins, then they can sell Joan Troyzan another boot, and they're going after Joan Troyzan anyway. I think she just wants it, and the fact that it might improve her case at Final Tribal is incidental.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I don't know that she's necessarily looking that far down the road yet. Although I do think she's definitely planning on being there at Final Tribal.
Sure, but let's say you were trying to use this immunity challenge as an argument in your favor. Somebody else who's sitting next to you can just as easily point out that 6 or 7 people stepped down from this challenge. It's not like you outlasted them all in some fight-to-the-death endurance challenge. This was something which was handed to you on a silver platter.
Right, but I think it's still, I won X number of immunities, and that at least adds one to whatever X ultimately is.
Yeah, or alternatively, all of you were willing to step down for food. I was the only one who was willing to stay out there until the bitter end, which...
Right.
Yeah, isn't necessarily a rational argument, but it's one that people will listen to. So one other thing that happened in this challenge is that within this episode, there's an interesting storyline where Chelsea gets emotional. She doesn't want to vote out Jay and Troy, and she doesn't want to lie to their faces about it. We see her getting called out on this by Sabrina, Alicia, and then Hoda gets this turnaround beginning here where, you know, she's Joan of Arc, she wins the challenge, everyone loves her. You know, she doesn't want to sit down for food because she's a strong woman or all this crap. So she eventually wins the challenge, and then she gets back to camp, and she has this confessional where she says that, I've come around, I've realized that I have to do what's best strategically because I love money. Interesting sound effect right. And rap. What do you think about this? I saw a lot of people suggesting that this episode was good for Chelsea's winner edit, but if you were trying to edit Chelsea as a winner, why would you put in all this moral turmoil at the beginning where this isn't the sort of thing which paints her in a good light at all?
Well, I think the whole moral situation, you know, we saw her talking about not wanting to lie to Troy and Jay because she'd once prior looked them in the eyes and given them her word or whatever, and now that makes her uncomfortable having to lie to them. I think the natural argument for me is that not necessarily it on the surface is that overwhelmingly positive for Chelsea, but if we start to see Kim's edit turn more into evil Kim, and Chelsea gets the kind of moral high ground edit, that could be the explanation for how Chelsea beats Kim in a final. And I think, honestly, it's mostly a function of people are looking for a reason to have someone other than Kim at least on the radar as a winner.
Right, and if this was being edited as a why Kim lost season, I could understand that, because we've seen in the past where you have people like Stephanie LaGrosa, Russell, Boston Rob, and All-Stars, where they're the defining character of the season, they're driving all of the strategy, and yet they end up losing. And in those seasons, typically, the winner tends to be portrayed in a very sympathetic light. We're not given too much time to talk about strategy, but you always get the sense that they're good people. You want to root for them to win. And it's possible we could be getting our Chelsea here. On the other hand, though, this reminds me a lot of the stuff we saw in Nicaragua with Chase. And I think the parallels between Chelsea's edit and Chase's edit are pretty striking. And I think they're going to end up getting the same placement, eventually.
That's good stuff. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, if you think back to it, it seems like every episode was why Chase did this. So we had to run around the circle of, okay, Chase wants to do this. He doesn't want to do this. He likes this person. He doesn't like this person. Whatever. And in the season at Nicaragua, where there are no really strong winner edits, a lot of people kind of latch onto Chase saying, well, he's been portrayed as a nice, sweet Southern guy who has to grapple with playing the game, you know, versus playing with his heart. But that's not the way that people who won are edited typically.
Yeah, that's right. No, and that's actually, again, just a fantastic comparison, I think, between Chelsea and Chase. Yeah, that's brilliant, and I absolutely agree. I think Chelsea is probably looking like our second place finisher here. Although, again, I think I'm one of these people. There are plenty of us looking for reasons to have someone other than Kim on our candidates list for winners. And I think, honestly, at this point, Chelsea may be number two, just because it obviously a winner needs to be somewhat visible. And with Sabrina, who I think would naturally be, if she were a winner, more visible than she's been right now. I feel like it's kind of got to be Chelsea at this point, unless I don't want to jinx it, but I think Kat's still got a shot in there.
Okay, so...
Don't act so disgusted every single time. I swear to you, it's not everyone who hates Kat, it's just you. And you make me feel like it's the entire Survivor viewing base.
I don't hate Kat, I like Kat. She's funny, she brings a lot to the show.
That's my whole point, but everyone likes Kat.
Yeah, but liking Kat doesn't extend to thinking she has a viable chance to win.
I didn't say viable. I said I didn't want to jinx it, but I think it's non-zero. Anyway. Go ahead.
Sabrina said it was very odd because in the first 2 episodes, she was the most visible person by quite a wide margin. Competing with Colton for that, but aside from Colton, of the people left in the game, she was the most visible in the early episodes. And she had a lot of good content about that. She was talking about everything that went down in the original Solani tribe in a way which you could empathize with. She was a good narrator. And so I think in the first few episodes, a lot of people looked at Sabrina and thought, wow, you know, she could win, especially given that pre-show maybe she didn't seem like the sort of person who would be that intelligent or that engaged in the game. So seeing her like that in the first few episodes was a pleasant surprise. Since then, though, Helena has just dropped off, and we haven't really seen her except to occasionally pop up to talk about food, which seems to be her given role.
Yeah, Sabrina was someone I was actually, after, again, as you mentioned, she was quite visible in the first couple episodes, and I was hoping she would remain that visible, because I still do like Sabrina a lot, and I do think she's entertaining. And I'm hoping that as people start dropping off, you know, as Jay and probably Troy Zansoon start dropping off, their screen time is going to then start going to people like Sabrina, because I don't think it's going to be going to Leaf. I don't think it's going to be going to Christina. Tarzan's already getting plenty. Chelsea and Kim are getting plenty. Kat's doing her thing. Everyone hates Alicia. So I think Sabrina's stock can only really go up at this point.
Sure, but I think the people who are likely to get voted out in the next few episodes, particularly if Troy Zansoon's immunity, which I think is going to happen, and we can go on to the reasons why in a minute, but it seems like the next few people to go are the Tarzans and Leafs and Alicias of this world, who really haven't had that much airtime up to this point. Obviously Tarzan has, but that's not really relevant to the point we're discussing, which is who might be viable as a winner candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's why I'm saying, but as those people start dropping off, I think Sabrina, we're just going to start seeing more and more of Sabrina, because I don't think she's going to be gone anytime soon. And I personally am looking forward to that, and I hope, I really do truly hope that we start seeing more Evil Kim and get more reasons to get really excited for this middle and end game.
Sure. Do you think this is going to become like a Boston Robin Redemption Island scenario? Where?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, unfortunately,
I honestly say unfortunately just because I'm dying for some kind of drama here. If they had started, even if there could have been some more suspense just even through the pre-merge, and then once the women take the numbers post-merge, a Kim win becomes obvious. I don't know, and I don't even know what else they could have done given how things actually went down on the island, apart from, this is what I will say, cast different fucking kinds of people. Don't cast these idiots all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that's absolutely what leads to it. Is you cast one decent player and 17 idiots, not necessarily that everyone left is a complete and utter failure at Survivor, but when you cast, it's such a disproportionate number of people that just have no idea what they're doing, and this is what happens.
That's why I was saying pre-show that I thought this cast was one of the weakest we've seen in a long time, and when I said that, I was thinking more about their personalities. It just didn't seem like a vibrant, engaging cast to me. But as it turns out, their personalities have been pretty awesome, but their gameplay hasn't. And I think this is going to be one of those seasons where the entertainment value is quite high until it gets to the point where these people voted out or they don't become relevant, at which point the end game becomes pretty boring.
Yeah, you know, I'm often forced to take the position of this cast isn't as bad as it looks, because we often, at least when we argue about it, is this cast weaker than Redemption Island's post-merge cast? And this season's cast is ridiculously weak compared to most seasons post-merge, in terms of just people who are capable of playing Survivor, but it is not weaker than Redemption Island.
Okay, we can argue about that, but...
Yeah, we don't need to get back into that, but that's point being, I absolutely agree that this cast is generally very weak.
Right.
Which we've said throughout. We said very early on that it looked like a weak field. But to speak to your point, I like pretty much everyone.
Right.
I don't like Alicia, but I'm still having a ton of fun watching her, and I'm really enjoying. No matter who's on screen, I'm happy that I'm watching. I guess.
Yeah, Alicia is an interesting one as well, because pre-merge, especially when she was on the new Monona tribe with Colton, it seemed like she was going to be the villain of the season. But ever since the merge, she's just dropped off the radar completely as well. We haven't really heard a peep from her.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, she had that big episode during Colton's medevac, obviously, where she starts out as the victim and then becomes the hero. And I was thinking that it potentially could have been the, oh, everyone remember Christina and like Christina because next week she's going to get booted. But she hasn't been booted, and she's kind of snuck her way through, and she's just kind of kept her mouth shut, which I think is smart of her to do. But there's no reason for us to even really have an opinion about her at this point. I do, again, I've liked her all season. I just wish we could see more of her. But again, I don't think she's contributing that much to the game, and they just have other stuff to be showing.
Are you talking about Alicia or Christina here?
Christina.
Well, I was talking about Alicia, but okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I would co-sign everything you said about Christina. Again, she seems likable, but we haven't heard much from her. And that suggests to me that she's not going to play a particularly important role in the season. She might be the kind of consensus boot when we get down to 7 or 6 people.
Right, yeah. Whenever they need just a random boot because they don't want to show their hand yet, that's when she's going to go.
Right, and it's possible that there are circumstances in which it might be right to boot Christina. It's difficult to think of what those would be, though.
Just obviously off the top of my head, if Kim's thinking in terms of a Final Four situation that would naturally lead to her being in the Final Three and then the Final Five that suits that Final Four best, and if that Final Six or Seven boot that suits those best is Christina, then so be it. And I think that's basically the whole point here, is that whenever Kim needs her to go is when she's going to go, in terms of just setting up a natural Final Five.
Sure, I can buy that. So... Yeah. The rest of the episode after Immunity Challenge is devoted to basically this cold war between Troy, Zan, and Jay and Kim and the women. And we see both sides of that debating internally about who they want to take out from the other side. We see Kim latching on pretty early to the idea of taking out Jay and Troy, Zan in some order. The exact order isn't determined until later in the episode, but Troy and Jay seem to be fairly confused. They first decide that they want to go after Alicia just because she's a woman and she was on the old Monona tribe, so they're killing two birds with one stone here. Does it really matter whether it's Alicia or Christina? We touched on this before when talking about Jay talking to Kat, but I'm not sure this really matters long term.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it doesn't matter in the sense that no one's going to vote with them.
Right.
But yeah, you mentioned them being confused, and it's throughout most of the episode and throughout the entire way through, Jay genuinely, I think, believed that he was still with it, that new Solani was going to just try to blindside Troyzan or whatever. And Troyzan, we'll talk about Troyzan's idol in a minute. But again, it's so hard to know what was really going through Jay's head, because he was portrayed at least like he was totally on board with Kim the whole time.
Sure. Just to clarify, when I say that it doesn't matter long term, I mean that if it works, it doesn't really matter whether Alicia or Christina was booted that. But obviously, which one you choose is going to determine how likely it is to work.
Right, yeah. I mean, Christina, the argument for Christina is she's the people you're trying to sell her to as the boot are much more likely to be willing to vote for her than they would be for Alicia. That's a question. If they're all on board to vote out Alicia, then it's good times. But if they're reluctant to vote out Alicia or Christina, then it's probably bad times for you if you're Jay. And obviously, bad times is what we end up seeing be the case.
Okay. Yeah. The far more interesting decision, though, is the one being made by Kim and the women. So they know fairly early on that they want to take out Troyzan or Jay at this round. They're not going to stay the course and vote out someone like Leaf or Tarzan or whoever, someone who just isn't relevant to the game. This is a good opportunity for them to take out a power player. So, before the challenge, it seems like they were settled on Jay. After the challenge, though, when Jay drops out and Troyzan stays in, they start to think, Troyzan, maybe, his head is in the game more, he's more focused, we can lead around Jay more easily later if we need to. But Troyzan, maybe, yeah, he's on the ball a bit more. So, they decide to take out Troyzan, and to do this, they decide to tell Jay and Troyzan they're going to vote for Alicia. They go along with that. Then they're going to have everyone else split the votes between Jay and Troyzan in case one of them winds up and uses an idol. Now, the interesting thing here is that this involves bringing in Tarzan and Leaf, which is something which we weren't given too many details about, but it seems like if they were more aware, they could have banded together with each other being Tarzan and Leaf, teamed up with Jay and Troyzan, and maybe tried to get something together.
Yeah, that's right. And again, it's because they are Tarzan and Leaf that I don't think Kim even thought that was a possibility. In terms of Leaf, pretty much all we've seen is just whoever can talk to Leaf most recently and whoever can make Leaf feel comfortable is who Leaf's going to vote with. Right. Whoever someone tells him to vote for is who he's going to vote for.
Exactly. And I'm not saying this is a mistake on the part of Kim, because she knows this. Like, what's the worst case scenario here? All these five people team up somehow, but even then they only have 5 people in a tribe of 10. The best they can do is force a tie, and I don't see many of them being willing to draw rocks for each other. Like, as I said in the previous episode, if you're Troyzan here and you think you have a decent shot of going on an immunity run, are you really going to risk drawing rocks to keep someone like Tarzan or Christina in the game? Probably not.
Well, I think worst case scenario is Kim still is splitting the vote between Troy and Jay, but then if Leaf and Tarzan, Troy and Jay get together, and then if they can pull one more, that's 5, and the vote, 5 versus the split vote is the majority.
Sure, but I think in that scenario, Kim would be able to tell that it wasn't going to work. I don't think Tarzan and Leaf are expert liars by any means.
No, not at all. And again, I think it's just because it's Tarzan and Leaf, it's just so unlikely to even cross their minds in the first place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first quote we saw in the episode is Tarzan saying, this game's over for us.
Yeah. So,
like, he's just trying to stick around.
So if you're one of the women here, do you want to take out Jay or Toyzan? Because, you know, in the dark, you don't know that Toyzan has an idol yet. It seems like Jay would be the bigger threat, just in terms of challenges.
In terms of challenges, I agree, but I think Jay, as Kim mentioned, is much easier to kind of lead around. And Troy's, we saw Troyzan pretty much dead on with everything that he was talking about this episode. He was sensitive to the fact that despite being told he was in an alliance, he may be getting blindsided, which he was absolutely accurate about, and thus playing his idol in which would have been a correct fashion had Jay not ratted him out, I think.
Right, and one thing I like about Troyzan's play here is that he realized that if he's going to use the idol, and if it's going to work, it's because one of the women, or more of the women, have been lying to him. And in that case, he doesn't really have any solid allegiance with them, and he's free to vote out someone like Kim. On the other hand, though, let's say you use your idol and you're not the target this round. They're coming after Leaf instead, or Alicia, like they told you they would. Now, you voted for Kim, and Kim is understandably going to be upset about this, and now you lose any residual chance you might have had of remaining in an alliance with them.
I was thinking about that, because this is why I never really know about whether or not I would want an idol. If I could guarantee that I would be the only one who ever knew about it, which I think reliably when you are the one who finds an idol, you can, if you're so inclined, guarantee that, basically just hide it immediately and don't tell anyone. But also, yeah, the idea of playing of going out with an idol in your pocket is terrifying, but the idea of playing an idol when you're not the target is honestly even more terrifying to me, because I think there are so many ramifications for exactly the reasons you just described, because if you go with that and you're wrong, in most scenarios, playing an idol incorrectly, I think, is just terrifying to me.
Sure, but I can understand that. That's an emotional response. Obviously, rationally, there's no reason to not want to have an idol, because you can always play as if you didn't have the idol, and the idol gives you a lot more flexibility. Not only because you can save yourself if you're the target, but also, for instance, let's say you're in the minority and you have an idol. Now, you might think, well, if I just use the idol to save myself, I'm going to be targeted the next few rounds anyway. If I make the knowledge of my idol public, then the other alliance is forced to split the votes, and now I only need to flip one person from that side, maybe instead of two or three or however many it may be. So we see the women eventually settle on taking out Troyzan instead of Jay, and they need to decide how precisely they're going to split the votes now, because they need to do a few things. Firstly, they need to make sure that more votes are on Troyzan, because if he doesn't play the idol, then he needs to be the one going home. Secondly, they need to ensure that if Troyzan and Jay wise up to what's happening and vote for each other, or one of them votes for the other, that that's not going to disrupt the plan. So a one-vote margin is potentially a bit risky here. And they need to make sure that everyone else is on board with it, that no one's going to fuck up the plan. For instance, if Tarzan's a crucial vote here, that's worrying, because Tarzan's potentially likely to switch his vote at the last minute. You don't want that. So you have to do this very carefully.
Well, what I was thinking in terms of if you do believe that you can have Tarzan and Leaf vote your way if you're so inclined, you probably want to put them on the intended actual target. And here's why. I think were there to be some kind of weird tie that ended up going into a revote, I honestly don't know that I would trust them to understand to flip the vote to the intended target for real instead of just voting for the backup vote again.
Right. And I assume the way that they were brought in was they were told, look, you're potentially going to be targets. We might be able to save you, but the only way we can do that is if you vote for instance, Jay tonight. I doubt they were told about both halves of the plan.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fair enough. I don't know. It wasn't made clear, because again, it was brought on kind of abruptly that they were suddenly in Kim's back pocket. But we don't see them directly being told what's going on.
Sure, but if you're trying to get Leaf to do what you want, you don't need to tell him more than he needs to know, because he's just going to go along with it anyway.
No, but I don't know whether or not Kim did or did not tell him more than he needed to know.
Okay, sure. That's a fair point.
Yeah. There's no real point there. Just in terms of what actually happened, I don't know one way or the other.
So we're talking about, you know, what they should have done. What actually happens is Troyzan ends up telling Jay about the idol at the last minute, and now Jay runs over to Kim and tells Kim everything that's going down, which results in him getting blindsided by Troy's own idol. Which it was a fun thing to watch, but it just makes you shake your head.
Yeah, let's talk about Jay, actually, because again, as you mentioned, he runs to Kim and immediately says Troy's thinking about playing an idol. But the problem here now Kim, obviously this is bad times for Kim if Troy's the target tonight. But they're about to go on. You know, I wasn't even aware that this existed until we talked to Chris Doherty. But they're about to go on lockdown, which is where apparently they say, all right, guys, you can't talk about the game anymore. We're going to put you in vans. We're going to take you to tribal council now. And Kim, when she says in her confessional, I don't have time to tell the women, she literally is out of time to tell the women to switch the vote over to Jet.
Right. And, you know, we can debate about what happened behind the scenes for that. You know, we don't want to go too far into it. But what we see is Kim eventually manages to flip the vote around. We end up with a majority voting on Jay instead of on Troy. So now we get into tribal council. Troy's unplayed his idol, but Jay ends up being sent home. The way it was set up, though, it was kind of interesting because we end up with a large majority of votes on Jay. It seems like he got 5 votes, I think, to Troy Sands 2, which you wonder whether it's really necessary to pile up all of those votes on Jay.
Well, I think if she's confident that Troy doesn't know that she knows that he's going to be playing the idol, I don't think Troy was aware that everyone knew he was going to be playing the idol that night. Although, obviously, Alicia kind of called him out on it at Tribal Council in terms of, oh, he's wearing the other shorts.
Yeah.
I don't know if Troy was perceptive enough to realize, she's not just bullshitting. She's aware that I'm going to play the idol.
Well, that's another potential clue right there. When your boot target realizes that you're going to play the idol and states that publicly in front of everyone, you have to wonder if there's more going on than maybe you're let in on.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, in terms of Troy's in sitting there thinking that Alicia is the one going home, meanwhile Alicia's calling him out.
Right, so let's back up here. Kim and friends are telling Troy's and that Alicia's going home. Meanwhile, Alicia is in the shelter when Chelsea is talking about the plan to throw that mic, when Alicia's not supposed to know about this. Then Alicia steps down from the challenge perfectly happily. Kashi goes and gets food, and no one else seems to be rejoicing about that. Like, it's not like they were hoping for her to jump down or anything. And then she states in front of everybody at Tribal Council that she knows that Troy Zan's going to play an idol. Now, there are two outcomes here. Either Alicia is completely unaware of what's going on, which is entirely possible, I will grant you, or there is more here than is immediately apparent. And I think this is something which Troy Zan Dre should have picked up on. And I think, to his credit, Troy Zan did, to an extent. But he wasn't able to exert the same sway over Jay that Kim was. And I think this episode we saw just how good Kim is as a player. Jay was convinced he was in the final three with Kim and Chelsea, despite the fact that there was no rational reason for him to believe that at all, whatsoever. And it was clearly correct for him to go with Troy Zan and vote out Kim here.
Yeah, he said he wanted to play the game with honesty, and I guess he just assumed everyone was always being honest with him. And so I'm assuming Kim and Chelsea said, hey, we're going to go to the final three together.
Yeah, so in the light of the Tribal Council, I've seen some people saying that, well, if you know that Jay is so credulous that he's going to do whatever you want, maybe it's wrong to actually go ahead and boot Jay here.
The problem with that is I think you have all your pieces in place for your endgame now. I think Jay is just only going to get in the way of that. I think you can get Jay out now, take that opportunity, and try to get Troy Zan the next time, and then it's pretty much easy game from there.
The obvious counter argument is that given that everybody else is also doing exactly what you want them to do, the only thing that can scupper your plans at this point is somebody going on an immunity run, and the most likely person to do that is Jay. So you just vote him out, and it's an easy decision.
Well, I think if you're Kim, honestly, at this point, you need to start thinking about voting people out in such a way that they don't get hurt feelings and will then refuse to vote for you at the final tribal. And I think as long as she picks off the men first, the women are going to be much more likely to vote for her to the end, the women that end up on the jury.
And we haven't spoken much about Kim this episode, but again, great episode for her. A lot of good confessionals outlining exactly what she wants to do, why she wants to do it. A very good episode for Kim from both an editing perspective and a gameplay perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, her only, you know, the men are, all the women love Kim and will do whatever she says, and the men's votes are all over the place at Tribal Council, so there's just no one even making an attempt to take her over at this point.
Right. We had a lot of things to say about Kim, but that's because she seems to just be playing a dominant game at the moment. We can discuss what would happen if Alicia and Kat and Christine and Tarzan joined up and form this motley crew and went against Kim, but we know that's not going to happen.
Right, yeah. we already waste far too much time on this podcast, and we've been given no indication to believe that anything at this point could lead to any kind of uprising. So I guess, do you want to just look ahead to next week and then do our equity breakdowns?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
The only real question I think is Troy Zanna gone?
If he doesn't win immunity, yes he is. But I think the way that they've been playing out this battle between Troy Zanna and the women, I think Troy Zanna's in this for a bit longer. I think he's going to win immunity a few times, and this is going to be the suspense behind Kim's win. So is she going to be able to fade a Troy Zanna immunity when she needs to?
Obviously, I don't think Troy Zanna's back in the game in the sense that he's going to be able to change his fate, which I think his fate is win immunity or you're gone, much like we saw with Ozzy in the endgame last year. And you may be absolutely right that Troy Zanna can put together a streak because, honestly, no one else, there are no males left because it's just him, Leaf, and Tarzan. There are no males left that can even come close to competing with him. So when a big factor in the challenge is strength or probably running because I'm assuming he's got much longer legs than everyone, he's going to be in good shape in terms of that. And in terms of other stuff, yeah. I think as soon as he loses, he's gone. But I would love to see him stick around a while, just to make it suspenseful.
I can very easily see Troy Zanna in the Terry or Aussie role, where he's going to go deep into the season on the back of challenges. He's going to get a boost when he doesn't win once, so maybe around Final 5, Final 4-ish, and he's probably going to win fan favorite just because he's going to be built up as the one thing standing in the path of Kim's inevitable victory.
That's a good point, actually. One thing we haven't even talked about yet this season is fan favorite, and I guess I thought the front runner would have been Kim, just because I think she's the most visible and I think the most people like her.
Well, I think we like her. I think she doesn't really register with most people, though, and a lot of casual viewers like the people who fit the Terry, Ozzy, Troy Zanna archetype.
I don't think Troy Zanna's going to win fan favorite now that I'm thinking about it, though. I don't buy that, no matter how much of a running goes.
Despite the fact that he tilts me to no end, people do seem to like him. And I think this is only going to continue as the show goes on. I mean, you saw that they were able to edit Jane into someone who won fan favorite. If they can do that with Jane, they can do it with anybody.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. You want to get into our equity breakdowns? All right, I assume you have Kim at number one?
Yeah, an exact percentage, I don't know, probably somewhere between 60 and 70. I know a lot of people, you specifically think this is too high, but again, who else is there? We discussed Chelsea and Sabrina, but these are the people who we desperately cling to because we hope they might be able to take away from Kim. But realistically, I don't see Chelsea doing that. I don't see Sabrina doing that. I think Troy Zanna, maybe if he managed to win every immunity from here on out, but that's, what, 6 immunities, which is more than anybody's managed to do before consecutively. So, yeah, I think it's Kim. I don't see anybody else trying to get her out of the game at this point.
All right, you want to hear Kim with a high number? Top of my list, Kim, 90%.
Oh, you've come around now, have you?
90, okay. 90% for Kim.
That is, well.
Someone give me a reason to doubt Kim's win. Someone, and then I'll take it down. Until that day, 90%.
I think it's just the fact that there is so much luck within the format of Survivor that it's very difficult to put anyone, even someone who's playing as well as Kim, in that ballpark.
Well, okay, again, if we were talking just logistically, I don't think if Kim has this final nine situation, or final 10, final nine situation 100 times, that she wins 90 of them. I mean, based on what we've seen, this is heavily interpreted by the edit, but then also just logistically, obviously she's the front runner to take it down. Those two things combined, you put it well, I've absolutely come around, because I've historically been much more conservative with my Kim percentages, just saying there's too much time. There's been plenty of time. Show me something, someone. Kim, 90%. Second on my list, I have Sabrina at 5%.
Oh, one point to make, really. Troy Zanna might not necessarily have to win every single challenge, because if his idol is really hidden and he finds it again, then he could be safe for a long time, particularly if people know that he has it. This is something which I think is worth touching on, Quilly.
It's not going to be rehidden.
Are you sure?
As long as Kim has her idol, they're not going to rehidden.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's always been one idol
for
sure.
Well, that nixes that then. But hypothetically, let's say the idol were rehidden and Troy were to find it again. Now, as the game progresses, it becomes a lot harder for people to flush the idol if they know that he has it, because you need to accomplish the task of making sure there's a majority of votes on him, enough votes on somebody else to make sure that it doesn't bounce back if he does use the idol. And those two people both need to be kept in the dark about it and not team up. That's perfectly viable when you have 11 and 10 people left. When you get down to Final 7, Final 6, that becomes a lot harder to organize.
Well, the way it gets done is you blindside someone and hope Troy incorrectly plays the idol. That's how you get the idols out at that point.
Sure, but if Troy is willing to risk not using it for a few rounds, if people know that he has it, then he can quickly get into a situation where it becomes virtually impossible for people to actually get him out of the game until the idol expires.
I think all the players need to be thinking on a much more theoretical level for that to be the case.
I said somewhere between 60 and 75. I can buy the argument for putting her 90 or higher. Because if you asked me to pick one person who's going to win the season, you would instantly choose Kim, and there would be no doubt about that. And you would...
You would be so wrong to pick anyone else that it would...
Yeah.
I swear to you, if you sat down every one of the 10 million viewers and you said, pick who do you think is going to win this season, people who have watched every episode, 8.5 million of them say Kim.
Again, I'm not so sure about that. I don't think a lot of people are as receptive of the editing as we'd like to believe.
All right, fair enough. I just don't know how anyone can have anyone else if you're paying remote
attention. I don't either, but that's not to say that they won't, because people, you know, you think they won't.
All right, fair enough.
Anyway, so...
All right, let's move on. Who do you have second on your
behind
list?
Behind Kim, I have Sabrina. Again, I don't see her moving out of that spot until either she's voted out, which I don't think will happen until the finale, or she loses in the final three to Kim, which again I don't see happen.
Yeah, I think I don't even have Troy Zan on my list because I do think it require him winning every immunity, and then I don't even know how he would do in a vote there. Were he to make Final Tribal Council. I have four people on my list. It goes Kim, Sabrina, Chelsea, Kat. And I think those are the four you're going to see every single week up through the finale.
Right. I'm happy taking out Kat and Chelsea from that list and just leaving it as Kim and Sabrina, to be honest.
I have them at a combined 5%. I have Chelsea at 3% and Kat at 2%.
That's fair.
I think it's for long
shots. As
much
as I dislike to admit this, I can see where you're coming from with Kat and also Chelsea as well. Like, you can imagine how they could turn around and get to a win somehow.
Right. There's enough time left for that to happen.
Sure, but it won't. Just put that out there.
It won't. I have a 95% chance it will not. No. All right. So anything else to add this week, I guess? I think I'm out of stuff
as well. We apologize for this. Obviously, it's late. It might sound kind of scatterbrained because we had to put this together at the last minute. But we hope you enjoyed it at any rate, and we will see you next week. Again, we're not sure which guests we have lined up for future weeks, but we will let you know as and when that develops.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.